slash and burn, she said, avoids the risks, including the risk of growth. It's the smart thing to do. Swidden, Meggers admitted, has a major drawback. It cannot yield enough to support a complex society. More intensive farming might produce the requisite surplus, but cannot be sustained. The plowed land, exposed to the elements, is destroyed in as little as a decade. Even with slash and burn, ecologists say, the forest can take as much as 100 years to return completely to its previous state. European-style agriculture would not only fall victim to Mega Niños, it would permanently ruin the forest soils. Carvajal therefore misunderstood what he saw, Meggers told me, or else he had simply made up everything, and not just the Amazons. Caught in a lush green trap, Indian villages could not possibly have grown as large as he reported. Indeed, Meggers once proposed an upper limit of 1,000 on their population. And the villages could not have been the sophisticated places he described, with their chiefly rulers, social classes, and specialized laborers. Those military musicians on the Tapajós, for example. That was why archaeologists and anthropologists had come across the ruins of complex societies throughout Mesoamerica and the Andes, but saw only hunter-gatherers and slash-and-burners in Amazonia. The basic thing about the Amazon is that these people had a long-term period to learn about and experience and benefit from their knowledge of the environment, Meggers said. Any group that overexploited their environment was going to be dead. The ones that survived, the knowledge got built into their ideology and behavior, with taboos and other kinds of things. Having reached the optimal cultural level for their environment, she explained, Amazon Indian lives changed little, if at all, for at least 2,000 years. The impossibility of passing beyond slash and burn, Meggers said, was a consequence of a more general law of environmental limitation of culture. And she stated the law, the level to which a culture can develop is dependent upon the agricultural potentiality of the environment it occupies. From her distinguished post at the Smithsonian, Meggers battled on behalf of the law of environmental limitation. But her main accomplishment may have been inadvertently to keep new ideas about Amazonian history from the public eye, ideas about its past that may, according to their advocates, play a role in safeguarding its future. To begin with, William M. Denovan, the Wisconsin geographer, told me, slash-and-burn agriculture is a recent invention, a response to the arrival of metal tools brought by Europeans. Simply put, cutting down trees with stone axes takes so much time that Indians couldn't have done it as often as Meggers argues. Denovan added, this picture of Swidden as this ancient practice by which Indians kept themselves in a timeless balance with nature, that is mostly or entirely a myth, I think. At least there's no evidence for it, and a fair amount of evidence against it, including the evidence of simple logic. Slash and burn, supposedly a quintessentially Amazonian trait, is a modern intrusion. A similar phenomenon seems to have taken place in North America, where Indians were widely said to have practiced slash and burn as part of their habit of living lightly on the land. Dismissing the data to back up these claims as gossamer, the geographer William E. Doolittle of the University of Texas noted in 2000 that most colonial accounts showed Indians clearing their fields permanently, even ripping stumps out to prevent them from sprouting. Once fields were cleared, the intent was to cultivate them permanently, or at least for very long periods of time. As populations rose, farmers cleared new fields from the remaining forests. Slash and burn was a product of European axes, and European diseases, which so shrank Indian groups that they adopted this less laborious but also less productive method of agriculture.